Friday, 690 KGGF with the new guy.
Absolutely. I'm here to take care of you and also get feedback and all that sort of good stuff.
So young blood.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. He certainly is a young man compared to particularly me. And Brian, you're not as young as you used to
be. No, I'm not.
Old number 63, if I remember correctly.
No, 74.
74. Okay. I did not remember correctly.
It's the man's birthday today. So.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. He's 74 today. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Right. No, he's pushing 80.
No, that was my football jersey number was 74.
I know that. Well, happy birthday, Brian.
I am 53 today, 9/9/1969.
Honestly, I'd have never guessed you'd been that age. Mm-hmm. So you're older than I remembered. My goodness, that makes me even older yet. But
isn't that the way it works?
It is. It is. A great morning. I tell you what, driving over from the west, I realized with the sun in my eyes, I need to clean my windshield a little bit on my car on the inside.
Yeah. Yep, that will happen. Well, while you're driving over here, bring up a good thing to talk about the road proposal that they're wanting to do with 400. And I like gubernatorial candidate Schmidt's idea of, you know, kind of going back to the way it used to be, and the money that was collected by KDOT was used by KDOT instead of being spread out over the whole budget.
That is an issue that it will be interesting to see how it's addressed. The Attorney General, Republican candidate for Governor Derek Schmidt, has proposed a constitutional amendment. That's one thing, and then we'll talk about the highway, that would require that money that goes into the highway fund stay in the highway fund.
Right.
Currently, by constitution, the fuel tax, the money you pay when you buy gas or diesel, goes into the Kansas Highway Fund, and it is required by constitution to be spent on highways, road and bridge maintenance and repair or construction. However, the sales tax, and that's one thing that a lot of people don't realize, is when you buy something in the state of Kansas, anything, candy bar, a cup of coffee, a diapers, whatever, a portion of that sales tax, right at 17%, goes into the state highway fund. Mm-hmm. Now, that can be and has been swept out, or a portion of it, since back in the Graves. Bill Graves was the very first one to do that, and every governor since then, Graves, Sebelius, Parkinson, Brownback, Collier, Kelly, everyone has swept money out of
they've
the state
found
highway
found other fund. Projects or things that needed the money worse than they felt the highway department did.
It depends on your definition, Brian, of need, but yes, they felt like there was a reason to sweep the money out of the state highway fund. Now, it was not done in the most recent budget, and as everyone is probably aware, we had a surplus in the state budget, and so it was not swept. But I don't really know. We'll find out if Derek is successful in his run when we get into Topeka to see what kind of a proposal and how can the legislature amend the Kansas Constitution to require money that is put into the state highway fund to stay in the state highway fund.
Well, we all pay into it, and you know, we've been on the short end of the stick quite often when it comes to highway projects and stuff here in southeast Kansas.
Southern Kansas, southeast Kansas, you're exactly right, Brian. And so the proposal to build basically a four-lane, I'm going to call it a super four-lane highway in southern Kansas, pretty much my understanding from the proposal is Highway 400, which is north of where we're sitting, but it does go through Montgomery County.
Yes.
Would become a super corridor, and what I have been told is something very similar to I-70 up north.
Yeah.
Which I-70 is, of course, a major thing from Kansas City all the way across the state.
All the way to Denver.
Yep. Yeah. So if we had something here in southeast Kansas starting at the state line in Missouri by Pittsburgh.
Well, Joplin is a huge hub as far as trucking goes and all that, you know, kinds of transportation. It's huge, and we have needed for a long time to have a better exchange there. I mean, it's if you drive there from Pittsburgh, you're confused on how to get there. If you drive there even from Chautauqua, it's strange on how you connect with that highway system.
And, of course, once we get to the state line, we won't have control over
what happens. No.
But I do believe that if Kansas steps up and makes it a super corridor, probably our neighbors would as well.
Yeah.
And then we also, I have been and will continue to be a proponent, another highway corridor, Highway 169, which is just a few blocks from where we sit. It runs from Tulsa to Kansas City.
Yes.
And anyone who drives that highway realizes there is a significant truck traffic on that highway.
Big time.
And so I would love to see.
It's going to get even more increase with the soybean facility that we put in.
It is. So we've got several highway projects. You bring that up. Highway 160 over there by the soybean crushing.
Mm-hmm.
We've really got to make some improvements on Highway 160.
Yes.
Because the truck traffic will increase. Highway 160 right now needs a lot of improvement, needs some shoulders, needs to be widened. It's back to what you said. As far as it comes to money, we need to make certain that we're getting some of those dollars.
Well, I think that's what's held us back for so long. Is that, you know, we can't attract good businesses that don't have a way to get their goods and services in and out of here and of Southeast Kansas. And I think that's what's been a drag on our economy, frankly, for a long time.
Infrastructure is vital, and highways are a part of the infrastructure, one of the main things that we think of. And we do have, I guess I would say adequate air. We don't really have that much that comes in by air to our airports and Coffeeville and Independence, but it's the super highway, the corridor,
and the rail has gone kind of by the wayside until recently. I've seen more activity and more money being put into the rail system.
It has been this last session as vice chair of the Senate Tax Committee. I was able to take the lead on some tax credits.
Credits.
For enhancement and rebuilding of our rail system, and that's important really here in Southeast Kansas. And again, back to the soybean crushing plant, a lot of that product will be come in and go out on rail.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
That will be vital to make certain we have a good rail system.
And I mean, I have a neighbor who works at the refinery, and he says that, you know, they struggle sometimes to get some large items in. They do have rail access, but just to ship things in and out, especially big pieces, it can be a challenge for them.
So rail is important because you can get things on the rail that are really a challenge to get on a truck to go down the highway.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Sometimes we don't think about those type of things. We get frustrated. We're sitting in a railroad crossing, and there's a train going by, whether it's slow or fast.
Yeah.
I don't know how long some of those trains are. They seem like they're 7 or 8 miles. I know they're not.
No.
They are long. So you sit there for a while. But it's all about economic moving goods and services from one location to another. So I try to remind myself that when I'm sitting there at a
or behind a farmer going down the highway with his plow, and you got to remind yourself of that too.
Absolutely.
But that's part of Southeast Kansas.
That is.
That's part of the rural community, and rural community agriculture industry is vital for the state of Kansas. So there are some inconveniences, but no matter, even if you live in the city where there aren't tractors and plows going down the road, you can have other things that are
drawbacks no matter where you are.
Yeah, well, Senator Peck, you said that we set a record with this last primary in August. You want to talk a little bit about that?
We did. The state of Kansas set a record for the number of ballots or votes cast in the primary. It's interesting. We are now, 4 or 5 weeks away from the primary, and we're still talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But this primary election 2022, the August 2nd election, right at 940,000 registered voters cast a ballot. And the previous record, as we were talking about prior to going on air, it amazed me how much we didn't just barely top the record or set it. We blew it away. It was in 1996. 1996 was 26 years ago.
And that's just not for a primary election, or is that number just for primary elections?
That is just for primary.
Primary.
However, this 940,000 exceeds some of the general elections.
That's what I figured, yeah.
We have right at 1.9, almost 2 million registered voters in the state of Kansas, 1.95. And I realize some of those are people who deceased. We need to clean up our voter registration rolls. That's a topic we could talk about a long time. But, when we had that many people show up to cast a ballot, there were some 150,000 independent or unaffiliated voters.
Wow.
Generally, a primary, you've got your Democrats show up and your Republicans show up because a primary is for each
party.
They're
really the only ones
who
can vote, you know, I mean, normally.
Because the independents either have to declare affiliation with a party to vote. But because of the constitutional amendment that was on the ballot, that we all know the results there, heartbreaking to me personally that it was defeated so overwhelmingly. But there was also $20 million spent on that one issue.
Yeah.
On that one issue. And there was a lot of false information, bad information I've hearing from so many people who were confused, so many people who voted wrong. And that's another topic.
Low information.
What's the legislature going to do now?
That's what surprised me, is just looking at some of the counties that I would expect to go one way or another. I was a little surprised to see the closeness, I guess, or even that some of these counties voted no. So I think I can see that just in some of the numbers, there was some confusion.
There definitely was. And now, I'm going to just learn a little bit about you here. Were you in Kansas at that time, the 1st of August?
I was not, but I did vote remote, you know, via mail. So I did request a mail-in ballot, and I went ahead and sent that in ahead of time and everything.
Okay, so you Kansas resident at that time.
Yes, yes. Still permanent resident.
We'll make certain and get your voter registration changed to your current address.
Absolutely.
Yes, you're right. When you look at the numbers, Montgomery County voted yes 58% to what would that be? 42%.
Mm-hmm.
No. And I really, really thought that Montgomery County would be closer to 75% yes.
Yeah.
But there was, as you'd mentioned, some confusion. There were those who said it did not go far enough in restricting abortion. Well, it had nothing to do with restricting abortion.
It didn't do it at all.
Thank you, Brian. You're exactly right. And that was some of the confusion. Some people mm-hmm. thought, well, this is going to totally restrict abortion. Didn't do anything to restrict, enhance anything. It simply said the legislature will have the authority to make regulation, to
yes.
control, if you will, up or down abortion. Because currently our Supremes have said that the state constitution guarantees the right to an abortion, and there's no wording in the constitution. So
yeah.
Those of us who are pro-life are frustrated, but we'll live to fight another day. It's just, when will that another day be?
Sure.
And we'll learn from the mistakes that were made this time.
The wording on the initiative yes. was confusing.
As we're getting closer to the end here, you said some Montgomery County residents are getting some items in their mailboxes. You want to talk about that?
We passed in 2021 the legislation that requires if local units of government bring in more, they're going to set their mill levy at a rate with the assessed value that would bring in more revenue than they did the year previous, they must publicize that and hold a public hearing and a public vote. Now, that's something people say, well, that was happening before. Yes, it was, but they weren't publicizing the fact, mm-hmm. really. That. So I got in the mail, and I brought it with me this morning, and I plan on being there at the county commission meeting next Monday morning at 10 o'clock. The county of Montgomery County, which I'm a resident of and a taxpayer in, they are looking at increasing the money that they bring in from property taxpayers. Also the Rural Fire District Number 1, which is going to be small, but they're also bringing in or increasing and exceeding the revenue neutral rate. Now, the college here in Coffeyville, the Wildcat Extension District, and I see Havana, of course, that's just where I'm at personally. But then that evening, the USD 436, Caney, will be holding a hearing. Because, again, they are proposing bringing in more revenue from taxpayers, property taxpayers, than they did the year previously. So my point in mentioning this on the air, and I appreciate you reminding me, is the fact that the legislation was passed. It's designed for transparency so taxpayers know, okay.
Yeah, we're increasing the budget this year, so we're going to let you know that.
Right. And they did. They had budget hearings before, but mm-hmm. they really, it wasn't that they were trying to hide anything. It just didn't receive the attention, so we passed this legislation. So now, property taxpayers, if you don't like what's going on,
yeah.
show up, voice your thoughts, and then the local units of government can determine, okay, we are not going to exceed the revenue neutral rate, or we are.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to hold a public vote, and you can see, okay, this one voted yes, maybe some voted no.
Right.
To increase the tax rate. So we shall see, but that's one thing that I am glad to see it's working. But I personally, as a taxpayer, not as a senator, but as a taxpayer, will be at the Montgomery County Commission meeting Monday morning at 10 o'clock to hear what they have to say.
I'll be there, too.
You'll be there, too. Okay.
Good
deal. Well, you might be a reporter. But one thing I want to mention I didn't mention on the air, just briefly, sort of an announcement. The 19th annual car show, free car show in Tyro, is tomorrow.
Yeah.
We've also got, of course, a, I guess there's a little garage sale or something going on. Is that
a little garage sale? Mm-hmm. It's pretty small, isolated, not a big deal.
100 miles. But the annual car show in Tyro, there's going to be around 300 vehicles, of older vehicles, like 53 years of age and so forth. The really old stuff.
Yeah. Vintage.
So show up. It's a good time. It looks like the weather will be good. We've also got the old
Settlers. I'm no longer a classic. I'm an actual antique now.
Yes. Brian, you're right. And actually, when you get 30, a car, when it gets 30, is considered an antique.
Yeah.
So that's something I just thought I would mention. Show up, have a good time. It's free. There will be some door prizes for participants with cars. You'll see some really nice cars. Take you back in time a little bit.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Senator Virgil Peck, I really appreciate you coming on board this morning. And anything else you'd like to share as we have a few seconds?
Well, nope. Just back to the voting a little bit. We've got an independent candidate for governor that's going to change the dynamics of the election. So
split
I urge everyone to be aware of what's going on and be careful what you believe.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll have you in next month at this time.
Hey, I look forward to it and appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thanks for stopping by.
Sure.
And we'll continue with more here on the Mighty 690 right after this.